Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January 15th, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 13, the chapter Bill's Story, the third paragraph, starting with my schoolmate visited me, through one paragraph, ending with I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. And today's readers are reader of the text is Susan S.H., Tricia D. is reading page 164, Kathy S. is our backup, and newcomer greeter is Penny C., our second hour host, Robin L., and readers of the steps, Evelyn B., and 12 Traditions, Anne Marie M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, January the 14th, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,124, that's 23124. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 23,125, that's 23125. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Evelyn B. to read the 12 steps. Evelyn.
Good morning. Evelyn B. from, I finally figured it out. Evelyn B. from Massachusetts. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
And thanks so much, Evelyn B. And next, I will ask Anne Marie M. to read our 12 traditions. Anne Marie.
Good morning. This is Anne Marie M. On the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such will never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, or television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 13, paragraph 3. Starting with, my schoolmate visited me, through one paragraph, ending with, I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability, and I will now ask Susan S.H. to get us started. Please read for us, Susan.
Good morning. Thank you very much. This is Susan S.H. in St. Mary's, Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered today. My schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. He made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. What I get in this paragraph is these last two paragraphs, actually, the bare bones of the steps up to 9, just boiling them down to their simplest thing. And I know there were just thousands of details in Bill's experience that went along with these bare bones, but these are our directions in their simplest form. I love that. And yeah, I can definitely lard the bare bones with sometimes unnecessary things, and I'm excellent at complicating things well beyond recognition. But this is it. This is 1 through 9 in these two paragraphs. And it's amazing they could cook it down to just this. But there it is, and it really does touch on all of it. I am grateful to know that I need to know the bare bones. And if this is what changed Bill's life, can I trust today that it can continue to change my life? I've seen changes. I've been in the rooms for probably 10 and a half years, maybe 11, but recovered for 9. And I've seen how they work when things get tough. I can turn to a higher power. And it still amazes me that that's my first thought when things are tough. Where do I turn? I turn to a higher power, and I get help in the moment or in the day, or, you know, I get help one way or another. So I'm grateful for that, and sorry I almost missed my cue and my chance to share on this wonderful paragraph. It was a selfishness, definitely, that kept me from getting here early. And I'm not done. I'm still working. And I am blessed that as long as I'm not perfect, I need to work these steps. And I'm grateful they are there for me. They are definitely a way of living that works in rough going. And I'm very grateful for that. And I will pass.
Thank you, Susan S.H. And before we take our first list, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and let others share. And if you give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from, I can take some names. Who would like to share?
Sarah G. from New Jersey.
What was the first name? T? What?
Sarah. Sarah G.
Sarah? I can't hear your first name.
Sarah.
Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sarah T. from New Jersey. Who else?
Sarah
Wendy
T.
N.
has been good.
Was that Wendy what?
M.
Wendy M.
Julie G. in Pennsylvania.
Julie G. Anyone else? It's a great paragraph. Okay, let's go with that, and then we'll take some more names. Sarah T. from New Jersey, please start.
Hi, this is Sarah G., as in good.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, from New Jersey. I really love this paragraph because this was very, very big part of my recovery. And hopefully recovering continually one day at a time. I expressed my willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong, and never was I to be critical of them. And that really, really helped me improve in my relationship. I remember once with a coworker, it was during a difficult time in my life, and I wasn't really working my program very much. And this coworker said to me, "Are you still doing that program you're doing? Because you're a lot easier to get along with when you are." And I was like, whoa, that was, you know, I could have gotten upset with her and thought that was not a nice thing of her to say to me. But I tried to not, you know, look at that and say, you know what, that's God talking to me through her. And I should be thankful. Get back on my program. that's where I'm supposed to be. So I really appreciate those people who might be difficult to listen to sometimes, but if I'm not looking at them as critical, but looking at myself, just as it says here in this paragraph, I'm able to do so much more in this world and help people. And I'm just so grateful for that. And now all of my relationships have gotten so, so, so much better. And it's, you know, it doesn't feel always so good to say, oh, it was really me in all of this. But, you know, with my husband, with my children, coworkers, I'm just getting along with everybody so much better, and I'm so much happier and very grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Sarah G. from New Jersey. Next, we have Wendy M., and tell us where you're calling from, Wendy.
Good morning. Thank you so much for leading the meeting. I'm Wendy M., and I'm in North Carolina. I just absolutely love how we do a paragraph at a time and can really just take a look at that one paragraph. I'm someone who will like to go, skim over things and read things fast. And this has just been so healthy for my recovery to do a paragraph at a time. And there's so many things in this paragraph that stand out to me. One, which is a theme that's just been hitting me over and over again, is just the simplicity. You know, these steps are really simple. I'll want to try to complicate things, do things a different way, find many different ways to do them. And I mean, we have three steps in one paragraph. You know, it's so simple. And the other thing that's standing out to me is my schoolmate visited me, which means like he's doing this with another person. And I am somebody who always just wanted to do everything by myself and figure it out myself. And you know, it even not definitely not allowing God in. I'm just very not wanting to ask for help, not wanting to let others in. And this can't be done on your own. There is someone else that can point things out to me. And then the word fully. You know, I can't hold anything back. I'm fully acquainting him. And it's people that I had hurt. You know, I need to focus on what I did wrong. And the word list of people, again, just sounds so simple. Like this is not, a novel or a big therapy session. I'm just writing a list of people that I had hurt. And of course, at the end, it also just the language and the words that are used are just so helpful, you know, that I'm to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. I'm to give this my all. And when I do give it my all and I work the steps with my all to the utmost of my ability, miracles happen. My life is completely transformed from where I was before coming to OA, being completely abstinent and living in a recovered state. My life is completely transformed, and I'm so thankful for that, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks so much, Wendy M. from North Carolina. Next, we have Julie G., and then we'll take another list of names. Please share with us, Julie.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, moderator, for your service. I'm Julie G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania, recovered and not cured just for today. I too, appreciate so much the opportunity to really delve into each paragraph and sentence and phrase and word of this book. And I love Bill's story. As we have been reading it, you know, I am reminded of the complex series of miracles that were unfolding at this point, and we get to look back at it, right, through Bill's eyes here in his story as he recalls how it was for him. And at this point he's in the hospital and Ebby comes to visit him, and God love him, this guy was, you know, not but a few days earlier sitting at his kitchen table drunk, hopeless, contemplating death as an escape. And how quickly things can begin to change when I bring willingness, openness, a level of commitment to just go ahead. I mean, here I'm sure he's still just learning. Like, he may not have even understood why, you know, he had to do this, right? Make this list of people he had heard or acquaint himself with his problems and deficiencies and then share it with Ebby. I know that when I finally decided most recently to put aside my pride, to ask for help, to just accept direction, amazing things happened. And I don't even know how. I just did what I was told. Sent my food every day and my gratitudes. I listened to this meeting. I did my assignments. I worked through the steps. And, you know, whether doing all of that, like, distracted me from thinking about food or what, I don't know. But it works. And by the time I did get to step 9, and again, I thought, I don't know if that's going to work for me. It did. And so I'm just going to keep doing today what I did yesterday. And really what I did every day and continued to do is just pray and ask God for help, ask for willingness, pray the set-aside prayer, be open. And so that's what I see in Bill, you know, as we're looking through this part. And we begin the repetition, right, of the principles and the concepts and the steps. Like, we're starting here, and then it's all going to be kind of added to and described in more detail as we go along in the book. But really cool. This book was incredibly well designed.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And I don't think that that's an accident. I think that's by design, indeed. So grateful today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Julie G. from Pennsylvania. Before we take another list, let me tell you all where we're reading from. We're on page 13, paragraph 3, starting with "My schoolmate visited me. Through, I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability." So who would like to share on this reading?
Denise?
Tricia D.
Pennsylvania.
Harlan G.
Denise. Harlan. Patricia.
Harlan.
Dr. Harlan.
Erin K., Michigan.
Got Denise, Patricia, Harlan, Karen K.
Cheryl L., Florida.
Cheryl L., Florida. Excuse me. Anyone else?
Chris W. from Nashville, Tennessee. Chris with a K.
Chris. Gotcha, Chris. Chris W. Okay, let's go with that, and I'm sure we'll be able to take some more names afterwards. So, Denise, can you give me the initial of your last name and tell me where you're calling from?
Sure. Denise G. from Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you for your service and your dedication here to this meeting at 7 a.m. And I'm all thankful for those who are listening and receiving and my chance to give. I need to have the truths of this book repeated over and over. And in my first round of A Vision for You, I did not know after all these years that the steps were so easily laid out. And I would attribute that to people who have, in years past, have seen that clearly and have communicated that to us. The part where I need that repetitive, which I am not there yet, is how much my life changes when I write a list. And so mostly what I wanted to share was the line, "I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability." And I saw that as "I was to write. And when the fourth step and the continual tense which I am balking very much. I don't want my pen to paper to happen, because the reality, instead of being in fantasy and delusion, gets just broken up when I write. Lastly, just that is how things get righted. It's owning it first personally with my higher power and myself, and then the courage to read that to a sponsor that God sends in my life, and then it goes out to those around me as we pray in the third step, that your thy power, step 1, 2, and 3, thy love, step 4 through 9, the love of myself, cleaning that stuff up the way God loves me, and then love, power, and a way of life. So when I'm showing up in a way of life with this in me, that's step 10 through 12. And glad to be able to share that. And I'll listen and pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Denise E. from Pennsylvania. And next we have Patricia, followed by Harlan. Please share with us, Patricia.
Good morning. Good morning, Tina. This is Patricia D. from Georgia, a gratefully recovered one day at a time compulsive overeater. This paragraph, again, such a many nuggets of just wisdom. You know, I noticed with the first line, my schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. One thing I noticed right away was the paragraph prior to that Bill was able to fully, you know, acquaint himself and his problems with his friend because he had humbled himself in paragraph 3. I mean, the third step prayer right above that was he said, I offered myself to God to do with me as he will. And I know from myself personally, I could never have admit my failings unless I first humbled myself, that opened that channel of grace to come in. And then he says, then we, this is a we program, that where we made a list of people. He wasn't alone. He had his help of this, you know, Ebby or his, for ourselves, for me, my sponsor, the people I had hurt and toward whom I had resentment. You know, I know I reflect back on that very sentence. Prior to recovery, I never knew that going inward to see my part it was the first time in my life, and I had been a Christian most of my life, and to see that, really to go in a much deeper way to see my part rather than pointing my finger at them, it was such an internal cleansing for me, you know, and such clear directions on how to do it, you know, what he was to do. And that next sentence, I expressed my entire willingness. He was totally surrendering one day at a time to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. I mean, again, that is total grace right there, that humility and breaking down those walls of pride that I know I had to do personally to see, you know, what was my part. That was, wow, a whole new world opened for me. And never was I to be critical of them, as it continues on in the story. Again, seeing my part, not theirs. And I love this last line. I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. You know, the reason I compulsively overate was because of that buildup of emotions. And the food wasn't the problem, it was the buildup of emotions we hear so often. And so if I don't continually write all matters to the utmost of my ability, I will eat again. You know, it's that one layer at a time, that progress, not perfection. You know, that personality change of which was surrender and being willing to be willing and having desire to want to have the desire to just do whatever it takes to surrender to God's will. And then the food clears up. You know, I just love this. And again, such a powerful, powerful paragraph. And I am just so, so grateful for recovery in these 12 steps. And just how we can, every time, every day, we go back to them, and it just renews us, and you know, spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Trisha D. from Georgia. Next, we have Harlan, followed by Karen. Please share with us, Harlan.
Thanks, Tina. Let's take a look at what's, I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm in Los Angeles right now at the OA birthday. The paragraph that we read yesterday took place on the 14th of December, 1934. Bill enters the hospital on the 11th, and on the 12th and the 13th, he sobers up. 2 days, he sobers up. And in the paragraph yesterday, he works steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 7. Now, this is the 15th of December, and what happens, my schoolmate, Abby Thatcher, visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies, step 5. I felt resentment, step 8. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong, step 9. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. Step, a reiteration of 9 and also 10. So in these two paragraphs, he is working what we know today as the first 10 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now tomorrow, he's going to work step 11, or not tomorrow, in the paragraph we're going to read tomorrow, that's what I meant to say. This is pure Oxford group here, what we're going to read tomorrow. That's step 11. And that paragraph is repeated on page 87. When the big book wants to teach us something, it teaches it to us by repetition most of the time. But let's take a look at something that happened during my schoolmate visited me. Excuse me. That's going to change the course of AA. Underneath Ebby's arm is a book that many of the Oxford group people were reading at the time. It was written by William James, and it was called The Varieties of Religious Experience. And it was a book of stories, hard to read, but it was a book of stories of people, what they were like, what happened, and what they're like now, how they discovered God. And that's why we have the stories in the back of the big book. The stories in the back of the big book emanate from The Varieties of Religious Experiences by William James. Again, Bill enters the hospital on Tuesday, the 11th of December, 1934. And on the 14th of December, 1934, he will work these steps that we're reading about today and yesterday. And tomorrow we're going to read step 11. But this is very, very critical information, because now that he is sober for 2 days, his brain is getting coming alive again. His brain is able to absorb what's going on here. He's working these steps that we know today as Alcoholics Anonymous. The book, The Varieties of Religious Experience, give us the stories that we have in the back of the book. And tomorrow, Friday, we're going to read step 11, and that is going to take place in the town's hospital. And then next week, we're going to read about Bill and his spiritual experience and how he comes, how this selfish alcoholic, this selfish son of a bee, is going to wake up after a spiritual experience and say to, finally he says, while I lay in the hospital, the thought came there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics.
Gentle reminder.
Might be glad to have what had been so freely given me. This is miracle stuff here, and with that I will pass. Thanks for your service, Tina.
Thanks so much, Harlan G. from Arizona. Currently in California. Thank you, Harlan. And next we have Karen K. followed by Cheryl L. Please share with us, Karen.
Hey, Tina. It's actually Erin K. from Michigan.
Oh, okay, Erin.
Good morning,
you.
And thanks for leading us. Compulsive overeater in Michigan, living in recovery today. I got that the word utmost just caught me this morning, and because I came into my very first meeting of OA 6 years ago, and like many, you know, my path has not been linear. And when I've found myself baffled and back in the food, I think each time I told myself that I was doing everything I could, you know, like, why am I here? I'm doing everything I can. But each time, you know, I woke up to, or it was pointed out to me, or I found that The truth is I wanted what I was willing to do, what I was doing, to be enough. And it's just this reminder, you know, I have to approach this recovery and this way of life with the utmost of my ability. Because, you know, if I don't have that entire willingness to do these scary and humbling things that this program requires, not just as we're getting recovered, but to continuously stay recovered, I'll be baffled. I'll be back. And I think a reassuring thing is I've found that, like, my ability is never enough, but God, you know, God, the universe, higher power, that untapped inner resource meets us at our spiritual edge and fills in the deficiencies and gives me the power to do that which I cannot do, despite trying to the utmost of my ability. And that's when I wake up to the beauty of this. The times I have been willing to, you know, to step aside to do something scary, like make a really scary amends, that, I mean, I know I was not capable of doing in and of myself. And it, you know, being on the other side of that, that I survived it, that I apologized and, you know, I didn't melt or explode. And in fact, the relationship was healed and everything got better. You know, I could say sorry and nothing really awful would happen. It was quite the opposite. Like, those experiences were the things that really started to wake me up to this power that's always available. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks again, Tina.
Thanks so much, Erin K. from Michigan. Next, we have Cheryl L., followed by Chris W. Please share with us, Cheryl.
Good morning, everyone. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida this morning. Grateful to be on the meeting, and thank you for your service so much. You know, I came into recovery back in 1996, and when I went through the big book, you know, with my sponsor back then, it was, you know, really, I could relate to a lot of Bill's story. You know, when it came to this part of it, though, I didn't know what my deficiencies were. You know, I was full of pride, and I was also full of self-pity. And I remember doing my fourth step the first time, and it was still a lot of pointing the finger. And if you had my kind of life, you would have drank too. That's what I was focusing on at that point. And she really had to kind of pull me back in and just say, okay, let's take a look at, you know, your deficiencies, your defects of character. And I had to kind of swallow my pride and listen to her and see her write out what my character defects were. So, you know, I mean, I had the willingness, you know, at that point to work the program. I wasn't capable of working it to the depth that Bill did early on. And so, but I knew that there were problems in my relationships. You know, 30 days into sobriety, I read step 10 out of the 12 and 12, and I knew that my relationships were badly damaged, that I was a controller. I knew that I had issues of wanting other people to take care of me, and that I was looking for protectors. So I was able to kind of see those situations and start to make that right. But it's a process. And when I got into the food was a block. It was such a block against my connection with my higher power that no message was going to get through to me. No message. I was eating at people that I was angry at instead of using the steps. And I had to really come to terms with that and to realize that I had to admit complete defeat with my food, and I had to become entirely willing to turn my life over to the care of a higher power and let my higher power direct me. So today I'm able to do that a lot better, but it definitely took time. So I want to give people hope out there. If you're struggling with this, you know, just be willing to listen to what other people's perspective is, you know, and I had to have that humility to accept what people were saying. When I was dishonest, I had to say, yes, I'm dishonest. You know, when I'm being selfish, yes, I have to say, yes, I'm being selfish. And I needed to look at that. And now that gate of, you know, what selfishness looks
That's
like for me today, thank you, is a lot different than it was, you know, back a few years ago. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Cheryl L. from Florida. And next we have Chris W., then we'll take a couple more names. Please share with us, Chris.
Good morning, Chris W., Chris with a K from Nashville, Tennessee. What really stuck out to me this morning was that we're not to point anything out about the other person's behavior. And I have this crazy amends that I had to make, and I kept trying to figure out how to make amends and say, tell backstory of why I wasn't the one that was in the wrong. And it just, this thing went on for weeks. I'd try to make amends to these, this situation, and I never could get anybody to respond the way I wanted them to. And it's just a whole bunch of crazy stuff. But I realized the very bottom line is I spent a lot of time talking to my higher power, who I choose to call God, about this situation. And I never got any peace until I finally got to the point of realizing that I had this little uneasy feeling when this situation started. And I was afraid that if I brought up anything that I would get in trouble or someone else would get in trouble. So it was all of what people might think of me, and that I was just fear of the repercussions. And finally, when in a two-way prayer, I feel like God just said, I put this uneasy feeling in your heart at the very beginning. This is what you could have done, but I chose to not do it. And it just made me realize I just have to pay attention to those little God moments when I'm just feeling a little bit uncomfortable, to pursue that and think it through instead of just pushing my way and saying I'll deal with it later. So anyway, that's my story. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Chris W. from Tennessee. We have time for about three or four more shares. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Sim in Michigan. I did share on Tuesday. I can hold off if you prefer.
If nobody else, we'll take you, Sim. Anybody else want to share?
Mary J. from California.
Michelle B. from Texas.
Michelle B. All right, let's go with that. Okay, please share with us, Sim, and your last name and where you're calling from, please.
Okay, great. Hi. Yep, this is Sim B. from Michigan. I had hopped off the meeting for a moment, so I'm not fully present if we're still on that first paragraph about the friend and, you know, telling that school friend about, you know, issues and such. Is that where we are, or have we moved on? Well, I'll just share from there. How about that? So basically I'm just like present to this part about some of the shame. I'm still in the first like 4 months of this program. Good morning. or good moments to everyone. And yeah, there's just this like hang on, hang around, the impacts of my behaviors that I haven't gotten to the fourth step. I'm on the second step right now. And I'm grateful, so grateful to be here and recovering in this moment. I feel recovered. Well, I am recovered in this moment. And that's all I got are these moments. So the past is like, you know, water under the bridge. And yet, it, you know, sometimes I feel like that water, I'm standing in that cold water. And the chill of the grief and the impacts of my behaviors and just like the way in which I have and haven't showed up, just like releasing and releasing over and over again to that awareness that I have impacted not just my health, but the health of everyone around me when I'm in that drunken state of food or alcohol, whatever it is, whatever the substance is. And as I'm coming back alive, I feel like I'm coming back online. Sim is back in some ways. It's kind of like a particular type of teshuvah, a return to self and to God. And I just feel so grateful that I'm waking up out of this slumber, and it hurts. I mean, I'm feeling a lot of the pain and so many more feelings and the emotional learning curve is a bit steep to just be with the sensations, you know, and all the thoughts that come along with it. And I just want to say thank you for supporting me. I'll leave my number if anyone wants to reach out and connect. I'm very much open and willing at all hours, except
thanks, Sim. I didn't hear the end of that. Sim B from Michigan. Next, we have Mary J from California. Please share with us, Mary.
Hi, my name is Mary Nell J, as in joyous. And I am so grateful for program, for the amazing people that have come before us in program and teaching, sharing their experience. I discovered, or someone told me about division meetings about 2 years ago, and 2.5 years ago. And I can't imagine not starting my morning Monday through Friday listening to my fellows, listening to your process and my process and how much we have in common and how different we can be under the same umbrella of this wonderful, amazing program. I have people that I am so honest with, and I can share my shortcomings and I can serve. They help me, and then I turn around and then I can help them. We are such a fellowship of honesty, of humility, of using prayer and a connection to a higher power that is ongoing. I'm older. I have a husband that's slipping into dementia. There's a lot of future fears. And every morning I get the opportunity to turn those fears over to a higher power that can guide me and just take care of me one day at a time. And all those pearls of wisdom, I just am so grateful. I'm grateful for vision. I'm grateful that there was an opening this morning where I felt like I could hit star one and share with humility that I love each and every one of you as you share to hear your story. And I especially love the history of where my program has come from and how it came from William James, the experience of religious experiences. I never knew that. Well, I'm really grateful now for William James for that insight. because he taught us to share our story. And I share my story with as many people as I can just to give them hope and joy and serenity and peace. So I will pass.
Thanks so much, Mary J. from California. And just a reminder, please no phone numbers on the recorded meeting. Thank you. And next we have Michelle B. from Texas. Please share with us, Michelle.
Good morning, and thank you all for your service and all the shares. They're so wonderful. But I think God's trying to have a little fun with me this morning. I'm to write. W-R-I-T-E. The paragraph this morning reads, I was to write, R-I-G-H-T, all such matters to the utmost of my ability. And this is very, very important. But prior to my recovery, I wrote to my higher power faithfully every morning. And the words just came out of my heart so effortlessly. And this occurred for 7 years, okay, before A Vision for You, all right? And then, okay, I started saying the set-aside prayer. I got a sponsor. I got some abstinence on Monday. And then by Wednesday, I'm in relapse. So what am I doing wrong? You know, I had to ask myself. I had to remember what I was doing right. I was, prior to recovery, pouring it all out to God. And I realized that was extremely important because maybe that was why I found A Vision for You. You know, I do think that was a God thing. But after finding A Vision for You, I basically stopped. And in doing so, I've been actively participating in my own prelapse. I've been listening, writing out a food plan, very important, got a sponsor, very important. I started doing a 10th step and even giving it away, but I'm in relapse right now because I need to write W-R-I-T-E more, which is communicating my needs, my faults, my feelings, even my expectations of my recovery. I need to pour it all out to God. I think in doing so, I do a better job of going to my sponsor and saying, look, you know, this is what's happening. I realized he liked me pouring it all out to him. And so I sort of owed God, I owed God an amends because I was in a way excluding the most important person in my life. So I show up again. I'm not discouraged because of relapse. I realize this is not an end point, but the beginning of a long journey. And I need to just sit and appreciate the growth I do have. And to keep writing. And I'm fine-tuning my recovery. So that's what I got today. And this program is such a blessing. So thank you. I'm so full right now. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Michelle B. from Texas. We have 2 minutes. Does anybody want that last share? Anybody want to share?
Hi, this is Madeline from New York.
Go ahead, Madeline.
I came into A Vision for You in September, and I have been abstinent from that day on. Miracle. And I need to say, I fought coming to A Vision for You. Because I felt they deserted regular OA. And it's not true. I was the one who put up the block, not them. And I am grateful to be here. I am grateful for my sponsor who did not drop me when I was in relapse before September, probably before. A Vision for You. And when I left that first meeting, I was flying because I knew God was present here. And I am a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater because God isn't finished with me yet. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Madeline from New York. Okay. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And today's share ID for Thursday, January the 15th, 2026, is 23,127. That's 23127. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Well, Tricia D., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
All right. Thank you, Tina. This is Tricia D., compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.